This morning's scripture lesson comes from Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 23. We've also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God who accomplishes everything according to his design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were first to hope in Christ. You too heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of your salvation. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit because you believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is working among us. This power is conferred by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work at Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named not only now but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ who fills everything in every way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On this most holy of days, All Saints Sunday, we have gathered to worship Almighty God who has received friends and family, neighbors, community members, and brothers and sisters in Christ into eternal life. And we give thanks for the life of each of the departed, those who have died this past year, and those who have died some decades ago. In their own way, each and every one of them has taught us the deep faith in Christ, how to live in the world with compassion, small acts of kindness every day, how to maintain a zeal for justice and an unrelenting love and hope for the world. While we give thanks for their ministry, their love among us, indelible memories spent around table and in times of fellowship and recreation, this day brings with it a tremendous amount of grief. Among us, we have lost spouses, parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, and lifelong friends. To imagine that those heavy feelings of grief are not among us, we would be amiss to do so. Many of you have come here today to honor someone you have lost who you loved immensely. Your hearts are heavy with that loss of someone dear. There are people that, frankly, you would rather have here among us, standing in front of you in line to receive communion than to be commemorated with a candle. You still want them here, not listed among the litany of saints. We wish that we didn't add Jason Utley and Marcellus Newsom to this morning's litany. Two of our neighbors that cancer took from us far, far too early. There's so many others that we have named over the past couple of months. We have prayed for them often. That have passed into eternal glory. They are free of suffering, but we miss them dearly. And a year from now on this day, we will do as we have done already. We will name the names of those that we have lost. We will give thanks for the way that they walked through this world with small acts of love and compassion, opening daily for us a window, a glimpse into what God's life would be with us. And we remember persons that were here long, long before us, as I told the children, those whose ministry this church is built on. We'll remember those across the ages that have gathered around table, taken ordinary elements of bread and wine, blessed them into a holy and sacred meal. We will remember all of those who that have passed through the waters of baptism and that we are kinfolk with. This past week, in preparing for All Saints Sunday, I thought back over those formative points in my story, giving thanks for all those that walked that path. The names of all four of my grandparents were read this morning and had been added to the banners of this church that my family story might be woven among your story. All four of them passed decades ago, before I was 5 years old, so there's not much that I remember of them from family holidays and such. But what I do remember is that every day I step into my office, and some of you have seen it, that the baptismal certificate hanging on the wall commemorates the day when I was 3 months old that Reverend Brant Hayes of Antioch United Methodist Church, of a small white frame church out in the country in Southern Virginia, baptized me into Christ's Holy Church. I remember the men of Antioch would stand out on the sidewalk before church, often in two or three-piece suits, and give hard candy, especially to the kids as they headed off to Sunday school. I remember my Sunday school teacher that taught in a classroom that was in the back of the sanctuary in rooms that doubled as the music library. That church was the faith community that nurtured my grandparents and fulfilled the baptismal promises made to me. Saints eternal and saints among us, we know who they are. And there's Reuben. I remember almost every Sunday where he would sit, probably about halfway back on the lectern side of the sanctuary. He'd sit up against the wall, and his wife and his children and his grandchildren would be seated beside him. He was probably one of the wisest, most reverent souls I have ever met. He might nod affirmingly in the middle of a sermon so that you felt like you were on track. He might have a profound word to offer at the handshake as service concluded. I was more familiar with his writings on spirituality and prayer and what the Christian life can look like. When we nurture our inner life, how we grow in relationship with God. One of his books, Three Simple Rules, is used around the world by Methodists who are seeking to grow in love of God and neighbor. In 2010, there were some folks that pointed me to Reuben's wise counsel. As a young seminarian, I thought that seeking out the wisdom of a retired pastor would be well worth my while. And I looked back through some of those emails this past week. And the words that he offered to me then were truer, more meaningful, and that much more valuable to me than they were when he first penned them. Even in death, his writing and his faith calls us to life with Christ so that we can go forth into the world to give ourselves for others. From the innermost part of his heart, he knew that his life's work was to lead people in a deeper love of God. And so he offers this encouragement for the church. I now believe that God calls and sends everyone who responds to the call of Jesus to follow me. Some may sense a call to a specific task or vocation. However, the highest calling anyone will ever receive comes first. Simply follow me. When we say yes to that call, we offer ourselves to God as completely as we are able, and God accepts and blesses the offering we make in such remarkable ways. For small acts of daily love and his written encouragement and counsel, there are many around the world that count Reuben among the saints. Weeks before he passed into eternal life, Reuben and his wife shared many of the beloved items that had accompanied him through ministry with friends. The stoles that he preached in regularly and took to the gravesides when he celebrated services of death and resurrection. The hymnal that he presided with when celebrating the great Thanksgiving, he passed on to a friend. The robes and stoles that hung around his neck as he proclaimed the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for many decades were handed off. This robe, the one that I wear each week, is a mantle that he shared. It is one of the most cherished possessions that has ever been entrusted to me. There are memories, tangible items, events that mark the time that the saints have spent in our life. And we're not quick to forget those things. In a different reading from Ephesians, Paul says to the saints that they have inherited what God had promised them all along. Paul begins this morning's letter extending pastoral greetings to the church. He remembers the promises of the Holy Spirit that Jesus makes soon before he gives himself over. Paul recalls the power to reflect God's love into the world, and that love is to be the living body of Christ. In its entirety, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus is encouragement for the body of Christ across time and ages to remain unified and to imitate the love of God in Jesus Christ in all that it does. We're heirs to God's promises, the same ones that were made to the church in Ephesus. The promises that were made to the church in Jerusalem and in Corinth. Time, centuries of it, has not diminished the validity of those promises. The promises of God that Jesus offered on the Galilean seashore are for us as well. The power of God that restored Jesus Christ to life is the same power that gives life and breath to the church. We share a connection with Mary, who runs to the tomb on Easter morning and is the first one to proclaim the good news that she recognizes her Lord. We share a connection with Peter, the one who knows at Caesarea Philippi who Jesus is, that he is the Christ. Peter often gets it, but as soon as he does something else and is completely amiss in recognizing Jesus. We share a connection with Stephen, the first one that is to lay down his life in the early church. Because Stephen suggested that the same God who raised Jesus Christ to life was the same one that established covenant with Abraham and Sarah. We share a connection with Martin Luther, the one that said, sola fide, faith alone, who opened up life with God for so many across the ages. Imagine that your kinfolk include Oscar Romero. He was gunned down celebrating the Eucharist one Sunday in El Salvador. Kinfolk with Martin and Dietrich, Maximilian, Claudia, and Lydia. Our faith and ministry in the name of Jesus Christ stands squarely on the foundation of those saints that have gone before us. So I invite you to close your eyes. You may wish to hold your hands as if you're receiving at this table. Because I want to just ask you questions that will take you into the depths of your heart to remember those that have formed you and loved you and opened windows into the way that God wants the world to be. Be still and remember. Who was it that gave you the first glimpse of God's love for the world? Who met you at the door? The first time you walked into a community of faith looking for a love larger than yourself? Who has taught you the ways of God? Who cooked, washed dishes, and did laundry with such love that it was as if God was doing it? Who has shown you the power of a healing touch? Who do you admire for their unwavering sense of God's justice, yearning to restore the least, the last, and the lost? Perhaps it was your grandmother walking you and your siblings to church on Sunday morning. Maybe a coworker whose quiet demeanor doesn't lead on how generous she is with her time, serving as a reading tutor at the local elementary school. A parent whose love was evident in the most mundane and daily chores. Maybe the man you don't know so well, but asks the most profound questions of the heart in Bible study. May these saints living or resting in God's eternal presence show us the fullness of God's kingdom, teach us the ways of justice, strengthen our resolve to be peacemakers, and enliven us to go in the world, bearing the love and the grace of God in Jesus Christ wherever we go. Let us remember. Amen.